I want to think a little bit about the Old Testament account this morning and draw some truths for us. The title of the message this morning I would have would be Passing on a Heritage of Faith. Passing on a Heritage of Faith. Now, we could look at many different Bible characters who lived out faith and were able to pass it on to those that followed them. I'd like to look at Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, especially this morning, but there's many other examples that we could look at and think about. There's a number of things that led me to this subject. It's one thing for us to live out faith, and yet it's another to be able to pass that on the way we should, to help the younger generation to understand it, and to live it out in a way that it makes that they can see it, and that they understand it, and that they can apply it to their lives. A couple of verses, Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So the sermon this morning is an extension of the devotions this morning. I very much appreciated that, and I just want to go a little bit further and stretch out on that, but that our devotions this morning was a foundation for what I want to look at. In the Old Testament, the law provided a way that sin could be covered. But even with that law, well, that law didn't truly cover it. It just provided a way that through faith it could be covered. And so the Old Testament saints, as they lived and had made their sacrifices, it was only through faith that their sins could be covered. So they really had to exercise it and had to live it out. We need to also know no less. Another truth or another way of describing it, as there were several descriptions given this morning, but faith goes a step further than belief. Belief is accepting that a train is going somewhere, and faith is to get on that train. Belief, we believe that things are going to happen. We believe that God's in control, but faith is to get on that train. Faith is to accept that and to make our decisions of life, make our life a part of that. Another verse or two, Romans 1:17, faith is to be a part of our life, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And let me turn, well, in Hebrews 11, I'll look at some of the verses there also again. But Hebrews 11, talking about Abraham, it was, you know, it indicates the way that his faith was what he journeyed with. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. And it just makes very clear how his decisions were based on the faith that he had. Because of the faith that he had, he did this. Because of the faith he had, he did that. And he sojourned and went into the unknown because of the faith that he had. And that gave him a foundation that he could reach out into the future and into the unknown and follow God's direction. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He didn't look for another country that gets floods and drought and everything else, but he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that took him to various places, but where his faith was really fastened on was on that final city. All right, a little bit of foundation. You can turn to Exodus 2, which is the story of Moses and his birth, his parents. And let's just read a few of the verses there. Exodus chapter 2. Now, when Jacob and his sons had come to Egypt, okay, Joseph had been sold into slavery and went to Egypt, and Jacob and his sons moved there at Joseph's invitation. We understand there was around 70 people that moved down there. They stayed there, what was it, 250 years, a while, and they grew to be exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them, the Bible says. Became approximately 2 million people. And then a new Pharaoh rose up who knew not Joseph, and seems to imply maybe it was a new dynasty, a new generation of pharaohs, of leaders, but he was scared of them. He was afraid that they were going to try to overcome him. And so he started working against God's people. He feared that they would be, that they would rise up and fight against him, as the Bible indicates. And so first he tried to enslave them, give them work, keep them busy, and try to keep them from any kind of trouble that way, to demoralize them by having them so oppressed. But they continued to multiply and grow. It didn't work. And so then he went to the midwives and told them to destroy the men child. But we know that they had faith in God and did not follow his direction. Chapter 1, verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And you start seeing what faith, how strong faith is, when the king's command was to destroy, or you're going to be punished, they followed God. Their faith allowed them to save the men children alive. And so then Pharaoh went and said that all men children were to be thrown in the Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Verse 22. So he made the command broader yet. That's kind of the background story of it. I want to read another. Okay, there's several principles of faith. There's kind of a couple different lessons we want to look at here. And I guess one thing that stands out to me is that they did not act foolishly. They did what they could. Sometimes faith, people seem to think that faith, and I think God inspires us and God speaks to people to live out their faith in different ways. But here, faith was a careful, thought-out plan and actions to keep your child when the king's order was to throw them in the river. Some ways was risky. I don't know how you'd keep an infant child hidden for 3 months. But they didn't just act recklessly. They had a plan. They did their best. And I'm sure there was times when the child cried out or whatever. And yet they trusted God through that. So in other words, they did what they could, but they didn't act recklessly. They did keep the child hidden. They didn't just carry him around and figure that God was going to save him in some way. So there was a measure of plan and a measure of thought that went into it. We could look, and just the whole, in the context of this kind of environment, for a man to find a wife and to have children was a took a measure of faith. Took a measure of faith. Sometimes we talk about it today. We don't know what our children will face, and how much should we have children? And those kind of questions we look at. And yet, an environment here was probably worse than anything we'd see. It seemed more imminent that there was danger for anyone who would have children here, anyone who would have men children here. It was a bad situation. And yet they went ahead. In faith, they went ahead and followed God's plan. It says when the parents looked at this newborn child, they saw that he was a beautiful child. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. What did she see in him? And was it his physical beauty? I don't know. It probably was partly a mother's heart, seeing her child, and the endearment that was there. But I believe it was also they were convinced that God had a special purpose for him. They saw him as a special child. I don't know what all that means. But they saw something in him, and I can't help believe that through faith they realized that there was something special about him, as there is for most of all of our children. You would tend to think just another observation, but their hiding him and keeping him was not done out of fear, it was done out of faith. Hebrews, we'll look at in a little bit, Hebrews 11, but it says they, by faith, they hid him. And so their faith helped them to hide him and to keep him, to follow what God directed them to do, I believe. So it wasn't out of fear that they were, fear of Pharaoh, that they were hiding him and they were doing these things. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11 there that they feared God more than the king. And because they feared God, they kept their child and they hid him and they did these different things, followed this plan to try to keep him. Let's just turn to Hebrews 11 at this point and read the verses there relating to this. And that's the thing. I mean, we don't have that much recorded, and yet it is a lot. There is a lot there because it made such a difference. But we see faith in his parents and how much of that influenced Moses and made him, helped to make him the man he was, is my question this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. So, yeah, that faith of Moses it's talking about there, by faith of his parents, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. His parents clearly had great faith to keep him like that and to not be afraid of the king's command. And that had clear fruit as Moses grew up and he went to Pharaoh's house. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That faith carried from one generation to the next very beautifully. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith, now notice, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that sounds so much like his parents did, because the wrath of the king was what was on him then, and he looked for what was invisible, just like his parents had done. I like the way that similarity is carried down there. And I guess I don't have studied out anyway Moses' children and exactly his direct lineage, but it goes right on down from these verses, talking about the children of Israel. In other words, as if Moses conveyed his faith onto the children of Israel. And I'm not sure about his direct children, his direct lineage, but his faith got carried on, got passed on to the children of Israel. And it just continues right on here. Almost, you can hardly tell where Moses stops and the children of Israel start. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Okay. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Who's that talking about? Well, that's probably talking about the children of Israel, and yet it says he. And it just, Moses' faith was passed on just directly to the children of Israel. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were accomplished about 7 days. I just like the way that faith got carried on like that. We could spend some time thinking a little bit about the faith of Moses' parents as they established a home, as they had a child, and as they went about and hid him, and then went and put him on the river, as they did. Some would say that their plan worked. I don't really think it was their plan. I don't really think that they had it all planned out like that. And yet God worked through that and did save Moses' life, exactly. It doesn't say that she went out and threw him on the river, but in Exodus 2, verse 3, she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. You sense the carefulness and her heart was in that as she took him there and laid him there in the river. And I don't know exactly what she intended to do. Okay, think about the mother's faith. She took her child and put him in an ark and laid him in the river. That would take a lot of faith. That would take a lot of faith because you really don't know what's going to happen. Okay, see if I can keep my place here. I guess we don't really know what the penalty was if they disobeyed the king's command. At this point, but he was getting more and more harsh, and they were risking their lives. I think I've covered a couple of my points here. Continuing that thought of Moses' mother, then as Pharaoh's daughter came, certainly with great joy, she took the child back. But she... Okay. She raised him. She weaned him. And at the appointed time, she gave him back. The woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And I guess my question to you is, that was another exercise of faith right there. She had an opportunity to raise that child. She had an opportunity to teach that child, have that child with her, and then to take that child to Pharaoh's house and turn him over. talking about the faith of Moses' parents, the faith that they had, the belief that they had in God that affected their actions and affected what they did. The burden I have is that we would live out our faith in such a way that our children can see it and that they make it a part of their lives. That they can, and as Moses was there, as he was a child, and he saw his parents take those actions, some of them were before he could understand, but some of those, as he was turned over to Pharaoh's house, I believe he could see. He could see how much his parents longed for him and how much they dreaded turning him over. And yet, they did. They followed God's plan in faith. And I believe that had a tremendous impact on him. It's evident that that did. The opportunity that Pharaoh's mother had to teach him one related observation I had, or I came across, was Proverbs 22:6, where it says about training up a child in the way she should go. I understand, or at least one person understood, that the Hebrew midwives used to take, after she would deliver a child, she would dip her finger in crushed dates and reach into the mouth of the infant and massage his gums, and that would stimulate the infant's desire to nurse. It would stimulate his flavor, his gums and his mouth, and it would help him to develop a taste, to create a thirst in. So the term train literally means to create a thirst in. And somehow his mother created a thirst in him. She trained him. She created a thirst in him for God, for what was right. And he kept that thirst. He kept that desire as he was in Pharaoh's house. She had trained him well in the brief period of time that she had. Does it take faith to raise children? Does it take faith as a mother to teach your child and to give him the things he needs? That training is one of the most important things that as parents we can do. As a mother, you can do for your child is to train them and to help them to invest in their lives. The best thing that we can give our children is not our possessions or lots of different things. I was at a family gathering last evening, one in my relation that I was never at that I know of, distant, my mother's family. But it was very interesting, and I'm sure some of the ones there had probably received farms. Many of them were farmers, probably had received a farm from their parents. There was two big pictures there of, probably my great-great-grandparents that had been kept in the name in the Harnish family. But they were passed on to someone else. But the biggest thing that I took away from it was the Christian heritage, was the heritage of faith that was there. And great-great-grandfather would have been had been active in the church, was a deacon and an ordained minister and a bishop, which I didn't remember at all. But my grandfather, I know, was active in the summer Bible schools there at the local church. But those things we may have or we may not have, and yet we do have a choice if we're going to pass that on to our children, if we're going to make that available to those that follow us. And those things are very important. Those things make a difference to us. That inspires me that those that went before followed God and loved God and served him like that and tried to pass that on to their children and to various extent. There's many influences that were there. I don't know. I can't fully explain all that happens there. But passing on our faith to our children, passing on a heritage of faith to our children, it's one of the most important things. And do we really live our lives showing that faith is the most important thing, more important than the things that we have that get passed on as an inheritance? We traditionally think of it as inheritance. They're much more important than that. Now, I want to just pick out a couple more truths from Hebrews. Hebrews 11. One thing I notice is that they believed God more than they believed others. So there were others there, and even the king, and they believed God more than all others. Now in our day, there's many voices around us, but the question is, the challenge is, do we believe God more than all others? Whether it's what we're told to do by authorities, whether it's what we're told to do by higher education, by traditional learning and science, those kind of things where they run counter to God. Do we have faith and do we believe God above all others? Second thing I doubt, she did what she could. She made the most of her opportunity. And she didn't just exercise her faith as in throwing up her hands and saying, God will make it happen somehow. But she did what she could. She hid the child. She took care of him. She kept him. And finally, she went and placed him in the river. But she did everything that she could. She did made the most of her opportunities. They were very loving, careful parents. And we see that through the account. By faith, she accepted God's plan. The third thing, by faith, she accepted God's plan. As she went there, and by faith, she placed him in the river. By faith, she gave him to the princess, she allowed her faith, her faith allowed her to follow God's plan, even though it seemed like she was giving away her child, even though she seemed it was the end. But through faith, she accepted those things. She did what she could, but then she accepted what God had for her. Verse 25, they made their choices based on faith. And I just like that, the way it is. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Each choice we make, and we make so many, we're faced with what we're going to do. And there's two or more options. But, you know, what is most important? What we make those decisions based on various things, but it's generally what's most important or what we want the most. And faith is what allows us to see what's going to last and what's going to have the right results. Faith is what allows us to see that and helps us to actually choose that, even though other things look more pleasant, look more appealing, look like they might be better in the short term. But faith helps us to see beyond that, see to the finish line. They made their choices based on faith. Are we passing on a heritage of faith by making our choices based on those things that are going to be eternal, those things that are going to last? I'll just end with Luke 17:5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The apostles needed more faith We certainly don't have too much faith, and yet we need to, the faith we have, we need to ask God to increase it, and we need to live it out. And so that the following, those that come after us can see it and can make it their own. And it's a help. Each person has to make their own decision. And yet, as we see others living it out, it's a great asset to us. And we can have that positive influence on others as we make it a part of our lives and show what it means to live out our faith. May God help us to live out our faith in such a way that it's a heritage for the next generation. Let's pray.